Good afternoon and welcome to the West End Church of Christ Midweek Bible Study. And this is the Frequently Asked Questions class. We started this class on Sunday morning and, well, actually, we started a couple of classes before now, but this particular class where we are studying a particular topic, we started on Sunday morning. And the topic was, how can I know that I am saved? And basically the question was, I've been a Christian for a number of years, but I just wanted to know if there's a way that I can know that I'm saved. So we talked about faith. We talked about evidence of God's creation. We talked about the validity of God's word. We talked about Christ as the Son of God and the fact that you must believe all of those things and that those things must be an important thing in your life, an important part of your life and how you live your life every day. And so we're going to get into some more information today as we discuss this topic. But first, what I'd like to do is get you to join me as we open the class with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for all the many blessings that you give us. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for the remission of our sins, and that through him we have a hope of eternal salvation with you. We pray that our lives will reflect our belief in that every day to the very best of our ability, that we'll search your word to help us understand what we need to do to please you, and that we will understand that this world is for a short period of time and that we need to prepare for eternity, and we have no idea when that time will come. So help us to live every day in view of eternity and doing the very best we can to live according to your word, your will. Please forgive us where we fall short and help us to always look to you for guidance and strength. We pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Also, we have other classes available too, as you know. Those will be pre-recorded and will be online and available for you to be able to see anytime during the course of the week or later tonight. So we appreciate all the teachers and everything that they're doing to bring the adult classes, the middle school, high school classes, and also even the K through 6 classes that we're having right now. If you want to check, we've got a number of folks that are having some health issues or family members that are. Check the West End News on our Facebook page for more information. We'll probably also send out an email to everyone to just give you an overall list of folks that are having health problems a little bit later. And don't forget our Sunday morning Bible study at 9 o'clock and then our worship service at 10 o'clock. So let's go on with the class now. And we left off on Jesus as the Son of God when we were studying on Sunday morning. And we talked about, you know, the fact that we've got to believe that from the beginning of time, Jesus was with God in the beginning in John 1:1-5, where he was there. And it's only through him that we have eternal life. And the next point that I wanted to make on the lesson was, do we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came and lived on this earth as deity while he was here on this earth and fulfilled the many prophecies that proclaimed his coming, that he ultimately lived, died, and was resurrected from death in this physical life into that eternity with God in heaven? And, you know, the question is, do you really believe that? There's a lot of people that don't believe in the resurrection. There's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed he was just another prophet. They believed he was just a man. And we cannot have that frame of mind. We cannot go down that path and be in the sight of God what he would have us to be. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if we believe that, then what are we going to do to be saved? What are we going to do to be what he wants us to be? When those that participated in the crucifixion of Christ recognized what they had done, what they had been a part of, and the fact that they crucified the Son of God in the first gospel sermon that was preached, we have that account, and we know what was said. You know, Peter said to them after they said, after they said that they realized what they had done in verse 37 of Acts, the second chapter, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what did Peter say that they must do? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And so basically, they had to repent of their sins. Christ died for us. We have to believe that Christ died for us. We have to also repent of the sins that we have in our lives. We cannot have sin in our life and let that stand between us and God and having the kind of heart that we need to have to please God. And then also being willing to repent of the things that we've done that we know can't be a part of who we are to be pleasing in His sight. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you will, take your Bibles and turn there with me. And again, I hope this morning or this evening that you've got your paper and pencil and Bible with you so that you can join along with me as we participate in this study. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verses 1 through 4. Let's read that. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So, you know, the question is, when Paul's teaching here, he's saying, you've got to believe that He died. You've got to believe that He was resurrected and that He left this earth and He was in heaven again with God. We have to believe that is who He is and what He expects of us. It's what God's Word says, and it's what we should take and apply to our lives to the very best of our ability every day, but we must believe that He was resurrected. And like I said, there's lots of folks that don't. There's no way we can know that we will have heaven for eternity if we do not believe in the resurrection. We also know that we have to be born again. We have to be born again of the water, as it was even talking about in Acts, the second chapter in verse 38. Christ was talking with Nicodemus in John 3:3, and Nicodemus asked Jesus about His teachings and the things that He had done. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, He says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that message was to Nicodemus, but it's also to us. We must be born again of the water, of the blood of Christ, that the water is symbolic of, to make sure that we're going to be with Him for eternity in heaven. Also in verse 5, it says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we know we're either of the flesh or we are of the Spirit, and we can only be born again if we are born of the Spirit. So that is the kind of life that we have to reflect. We have to be born of the things that are not physical, but born of the things that are spiritual. And then again, like I say in verse 5, it says we must be born of the Spirit, and if we're not, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Also, let's look at Peter for just a minute. I told you we were going to talk a little bit about Peter on Sunday morning in 1 Peter, the third chapter in verse 18. 1 Peter, the third chapter in verse 18. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, us, that He might bring to us God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So He was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the Spirit. We are put to death physically. We are made alive in the Spirit when we live the way that God would have us to, based on what His Word tells us to do what we need to do. In John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So we have to believe. We have to let our actions reflect that in our lives every day. We have to be the new creation that is spoken of. And we said we would talk about that Sunday morning tonight too. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter in verse 17, It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we have to be that new spirit, that new man, that new person. And I'm going to look at some other scriptures on that in just a few minutes as well. John 3:6 says we must be born of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Titus 3:5 says we cannot do enough works to be saved, but through the mercy of God, and it's only through the mercy of God and His grace, and by the washing, a regeneration, renewal through the Holy Spirit, how we're transformed through God's Word. And again, Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about the transformation that we experience in our lives when we give our lives to the Lord. And I wasn't going to look at that scripture, but why not? Romans, the 12th chapter and verses 1 and 2, it's a great verse with regard to transformation and the person that we should be as that new creation in Jesus Christ. It says, I therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For us to be transformed, we have to be willing, we have to choose to let God's Word transform our hearts, our minds, our actions, our thoughts. Everything that we do every day can only be transformed if we do make ourselves a living sacrifice in this world, so that that sacrifice Christ made is a reflection of who we should be in the way we sacrifice so that we can have eternity with Him. Romans 6:23 says, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord is the gift of God that only He can give to us as a new creation shaped from His Word. But if we sin, then we have basically chosen eternal death. And that's Romans 6:23. One of the other things that I told you we would talk about tonight in the lesson would be a working faith. And our faith must be something that people see in us every day. It should be reflected not only in the actions that we have alone with ourselves or our family members, but it should also be something that others see in us or experience in us in the way that we live and the things that we do in the way that we live every day. So if you will, take just a minute and look at Ephesians. Go to the 6th chapter, if you will. And we're going to be coming back to Ephesians again a little bit later, but Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verses 10 through 17. And that's a scripture that we talked a lot about in one of the previous class that I was involved in. It was basically the fact that we are to look at the armor of God and how the armor of God is going to protect us in our lives every day, and God protects us to that. Through that. And we have the schemes of the devil that are a potential problem for us if we do not have that armor that God provides us. And it says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verses 10 through 17, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've got to use God's Word and all the resources that He gives us to protect ourselves and our lives while we are on this earth so that the devil will not overcome us. Because he's always looking for ways to overcome us, and he will overcome us if we are not careful, if we do not use the resources that God has given us. It says, be strong in the power of His might. And when you think about the power of God's might, be strong in the power of God's might. What does that mean? For me, it means armed with faith in Him and faith in His Word and His love for me and all the full resources that He has given to me working in me and on my behalf every day in my life, but I have to choose to use those resources. It goes back to the idea of living this intentional life every day to the very best of my ability. And it's up to me to do that. The rest of the verses tell us that I'm supposed to arm myself and to prepare for the battle that I will surely fight with the world and even the battle that I will have within myself if I'm not careful. Because we have our own things that the devil knows are problems for us, and he tries to work on us to let us succumb to those problems. But we've got to fight that battle every day. The reading goes on to say the battle that we will fight is not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. And when we battle the rulers of darkness and wickedness, we've got to have the resources God provides us. Gird our waist with truth, our breastplate of righteousness, all the vital organs when people went into war were protected so that they would not fall to the battle that they were part of. And we've got to use those resources to protect ourselves as well. Verse 15, it says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16, the shield of faith. And then ultimately, we're going to be able to win that battle. We're going to be able to overcome if we will be faithful, if we will ultimately use God's word every day to win the battle against things that we have problems. And if we choose to use those things to protect ourselves, then we will have truth and righteousness and peace and faith ruling our daily lives, and that will help us to produce a working faith. And if we don't work at living daily the way that God would have us to live, Satan is going to rule over us, and he is going to lead us to destruction. So we have to work at it every day. We've got great resources through God's word and what he has given us as it talks about the armor of God in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. So, can we earn our salvation? That's another part of this question. You know, I think there's people sometimes that are of the opinion or think that, you know, you can work your way through that, or you can be righteous enough or do what's right to be able to earn salvation, but we cannot earn salvation. Salvation is something that is a gift of God. It's through his grace and his mercy and his love and the fact that he was willing to give his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. But we cannot earn salvation. We cannot. It's not one of those things that we can do for ourselves. But what God does expect, because he has expectations of us, is he has expectations of a working faith. Turn your Bibles now to James, the 2nd chapter, in verses 14 through 22. And that's where the Bible talks about the works that need to be a part of our lives and the things that we need to be working on a daily basis. And if you will, read along with me. It's not a long reading, and it's one that I think is important for us to always be thinking about. And it says in James, the 2nd chapter, verses 14 through 22, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, or one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So faith without works is dead. It basically says that Just saying something does not mean that it's so. I've got faith. Well, what does that look like? If I say I have faith and there's nothing that backs up my saying I have faith, then it means absolutely nothing. So our faith is either a living faith that's reinforced with works, or it's a spoken only faith that has no foundation or works. In fact, it's a dead faith, is what that scripture says. Has no life or oxygen because we have not breathed any actions into our words. When we look at the example of Abraham and the level of faith that he had, what he was willing to do for God, had a very difficult test that God put before him. He was willing to sacrifice a member of his own family, his son Isaac. And Rahab, what she did to sacrifice and protect the spies, those were decisions of two individuals based on their faith and their commitment to that faith. And if you look at verse 22 again, see what it says. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by faith was made perfect, when it talks about Abraham? Faith alone is not faith. Faith requires action of works to truly manifest faith in our lives and in the eyes of God, because the scripture says faith working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect or complete. Works helps make faith perfect or complete. And what about verse 23? It said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then Abraham was called a friend of God. Do we want to be called a friend of God? We've got to be faithful in our works to show him that we love him, that we truly are committed to what he's told us to do. And then verse 24 basically says, here is how it is. To say you have faith is not enough, but to be right in the sight of God or justified, you've got to take action. So as a Christian, you don't do anything about what you say is important, then there's no way that we can please God. If we don't do anything about what we say is important, we can't believe God. So how important is faith regarding if we know we will go to heaven? Christ in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to praise my name. There's going to be a lot of people that are also going to be lost. Look over there real quick. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. It says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that's the spoken part of faith. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now there's the works part of faith. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then he says, I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. So it's doing his will, his way. That's what God expects of us, and that's what we have got to do. Okay, we're going to take about another 5 or 6 minutes, and then we'll wrap this class up. I don't know if I'm going to get through everything I wanted to talk about on this question, and we may come back with a little more information on this at the next time I have the opportunity to teach class. And the next thing I want to talk about is diligence and wisdom that we use as this new creation that God would have us to be. We must have confidence in our salvation, and we must believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. That confidence will require us to have the kind of active faith that we were just talking about, and a daily commitment to trying to be a part of his word and let his word be reflected in our lives. So we've got to be committed to that. You know, the thing I thought about with regard to this new creation, this diligence, this wisdom, you know, the very first thing that we've got to do that we talked about a little bit earlier was we've got to believe that Jesus Christ died and that it was through his blood that we have a hope eternal of salvation. But the other thing that we've got to do to know that we will be saved is we've got to follow the steps of salvation. We've got to hear the gospel in Romans 10, 17. We've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 3, 17, when he was baptized by John in John 3, 26. We must believe, or John 3:16. We must recognize and repent of our sins in Acts 17 and 30. We've got to confess our sins in Romans 10, 9 and 10. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins, like we talked about in Acts, the second chapter in verse 38. And we have to be faithful and walk the kind of walk that God has identified for us in all of his word, as we find in Revelations 2:10. And our conversion is an essential part of us knowing that we will be saved, because it all comes from God's word. So there's a lot of people that believe they can just feel that everything's going to be okay. And we're going to talk about that more on the next time we study this. But that's not going to do it. It's doing what God said and not doing what we think is right. What I do want to talk about for just a minute is the new creation that we're supposed to be. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter in verses 17 through 29. Just mark that in your Bibles. We won't read that. And that's a scripture that everyone's familiar with. But Ephesians, the fourth chapter in verses 17 through 29. We'll just reference it for a minute, but it basically talks about the old man and the new man. And it says that we've got to put off the old man and the things that were part of who the old man was. And then we've got to put on that new person, that new one that God would have us to be. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Those are the things that have got to be a part of who we are if we're going to be the person that God wants us to be. Another scripture that we can look at that also talks about either being of the flesh or the spirit is Galatians, the fifth chapter in verses 19 through 26. Galatians, the fifth chapter in verses 19 through 26. It talks about the what are we going to be, the flesh or the spirit? Let's look at that for just a minute. Galatians 5, and the fruit of the Spirit, not the flesh. It talks about the flesh, but what are the fruit of the Spirit? It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things should be a part of the spirit of who we are if we are going to be righteous in the sight of God. And then Colossians 3, 5 through 17 also talks a little bit about the same thing, the old man and the new man, and being the man that God would have us to be. If we want to get to heaven, and if heaven is our number one goal, and we want to ask ourselves that question and say, how can I know that I would go to heaven? Then the most important thing to us is going to be the salvation of our souls. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse 26, it says, what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So at the end of the day, we've got to decide what is most important to us. What is most important to us with regard to this life, the physical life, or the spiritual life that we live while we're here so that we can be with God for eternity. During the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, as the coronavirus has begun to have the kind of impact that it has really with folks all over the world, a lot of people are stopping and thinking about, probably for the very first time, about their relationship with God. And many times it takes events like this for folks to have that. Or sometimes it's an individual event that happens in someone's life that causes them to stop and think about their relationship with God. For those of us that are Christians, we certainly do that as well, I'm confident. But what it should do is it should cause us to realize we do know that we can go to heaven if we're faithful to God's word. We do know that we will be saved if we do the things that we've talked about. So in asking and answering that question, how can I know that I can be saved? The simple answer is because God told us that you would be if you do his will. So I hope some of the things that we've considered with regard to this topic are helpful, and appreciate everybody being a part of the class. If you'd like, you can pass this along to anyone else that you think it might be beneficial. And if there's any way that I can help, don't hesitate to give me a call. Everyone has my phone number in the church directory, and I'd be able to talk with you and be glad to answer any questions you might have about this topic. But appreciate you tuning in for the class, and don't forget, David will have another class on Frequently Asked Questions Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. It'll be part of the YouTube live stream. Have your pencil, paper, and Bible ready to go. A little tongue-tied there. your pencil, paper, and Bible ready to go Sunday morning when David gets us into another topic. Thanks for listening.